नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna. We completed the first 10 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Today we will discuss the 11th chapter. In the 10th chapter of Gita, Krishna described his opulences, so many vibhutis that he has. And towards the end of the chapter, Krishna said that just by a fragmental portion of my energy, I pervade and sustain the entire universe. The entire universe can be sustained and maintained by a small amsha, a fragmental portion of Krishna's energy. So Arjuna naturally has a doubt. How do you pervade throughout the universe? I want to see that form by which you pervade the entire universe and sustain the universe. Then in response to Arjuna's question, Krishna reveals his universal form. So that's the subject matter of 11th chapter. There's the connection between 10th and 11th chapters. Arjuna is asking now. So basically Arjuna is expressing his desire to see the all-pervasing form of Lord Krishna. And in response, Krishna is showing the Vishwarupa or the universal form. First sloka. Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Madanugrahaya paramam.
Madanugrahaya paramam.
Guhyam adhyatma samyitam.
Guhyam adhyatma samyitam.
Yatvayoktam vachastena.
Yatvayoktam vachastena.
Mohoyam vigato mama.
Mohoyam vigato mama.
Arjuna says, Madanugrahaya paramam. Guhyam adhyatma samyitam. Arjuna is very grateful to Krishna that he says, "Oh Lord, because you have revealed to me this confidential knowledge about your lordship, my illusion has been dispelled." He says, "Mohoyam vigato mama." The moha or the illusion or the bewilderment that I had is gone now. Okay, my illusion has been dispelled by your mercy. Mad anugrahaya paramam. Mad anugraha means you have shown a lot of anugraha or compassion or grace upon me. Paramam anugraha is a very supreme compassion. So Krishna showed his great mercy upon Arjuna, and Arjuna says that my illusion has been dispelled. Okay. Guhyam adhyatma sangitam, and the specific form of that anugraha, or the specific way in which Krishna showed his great mercy upon Arjuna, is by revealing very confidential spiritual knowledge. Guhyam adhyatma samyitam. Yat tvaya uktam vachastena. Tvaya uktam, Krishna has personally spoken. Vachastena, by those words, mohoyam vigato mama. My moha is gone. So when we hear from bona fide sources, when we hear the spiritual instructions, spiritual knowledge from Krishna or his pure representatives, the acharyas or devotees, then our illusion can be dispelled. In this world, we can be subjected to illusion in various ways. That illusion can be gone to the degree we are inclined to hear from bona fide sources, that includes Krishna. So now you may not be able to sit in Krishna's class directly as Arjuna did. But if you are reading Bhagavad Gita, we are basically directly hearing from Krishna only. Okay. So, the opportunity that Arjuna had, we also can have to the degree we are happy reading Bhagavad Gita. And hearing the explanations of Bhagavad Gita as given by the acharyas. Prabhupada writes, now as far as Arjuna is concerned, he says that his illusion is over. This means that Arjuna no longer thinks of Krishna as a mere human being. Because Arjuna already shared his realizations in the 10th chapter. He says, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Deva Majam Vibhum. So Arjuna very clearly said, I have understood your supreme position. Krishna, you are the source of everything. all Arjuna has said, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mattas Sarvam Pravartate. How Krishna is all pervading, he is the source of everything, he is the sustenance of everything, he is the Gati, he is Bharta, he is Prabhu, he is Sakshi. So many opulences he has said. So my illusion has been dispelled. So Arjuna is very enlightened and is glad that he has such a great friend as Krishna. But now he is thinking that although he may accept Krishna as the source of everything, others may not. Arjuna just heard from Krishna that Krishna is the source of everything. Okay? And he believed it. But other people may not believe it. Krishna told Arjuna and Arjuna just believed it. How can we accept it? So Arjuna wanted other people also to understand. Other people who may not have that much faith also should be able to believe Krishna's words. So for that, Krishna has to actually manifest his opulence. He just said so far. He did not display anything. So whatever has happened in the first 10 chapters is a conversation. There is no presentation. There is only lecture given without any PPT or visual or video or any practical session. Okay. So Arjuna is requesting for a practical session now. I want to see something. I only heard till now. Not that I will believe you only if I see you, but there are people who may not believe you if you don't show something. So for them, I want you to show the form in which you are pervading and sustaining the whole universe. You understood the context of this chapter? So in order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form, to show, not to describe. Earlier he said, you describe your opulences. Now he says, you show your form. Actually, when one sees the universal form of Krishna, one is frightened. Arjuna will be frightened. Towards the end of the chapter, you will understand. Arjuna will be frightened. So the form of Krishna in two-handed form is a very pleasant form, very enlivening to look at, to behold. But the universal form is thousands of hands, thousands of bellies, thousands of mouths. So that is very difficult for an ordinary living being to behold. Even for Arjuna also, Krishna had to give a very special vision to see. Just like you go to say some 3D movies, so they will give you some specs, okay? So that you will be able to see some effect there. So now Krishna is showing 3D, it's not even 3D, it's, I don't know how many dimensions are there in that. He's all over the place. Even a 3D movie also you will see in one direction only. But Krishna is all over the place. So he is there in all directions. The display is not just restricted to one screen. It is there in all directions. East, west, north, south and corners also. North, east, northwest and all that. And top, bottom, left, right, center. Everywhere it is there. That's a universal form. So for that Arjuna needs a very special vision and Krishna will give it. So Arjuna acknowledges that all this is happening to him by Krishna's grace. He is now convinced that Krishna is the cause of all causes and is present in everyone's heart as super soul. Now he is requesting Krishna. He is about to request Krishna. I want to see that form also. Second shloka. Bhavapya yauhi bhutanam.
Bhavapya yauhi bhutanam.
Shrutau vistaraso maya.
Shrutau vistaraso maya.
Tattvah kamala patraksha.
Tattvah kamala patraksha.
Mahatyam apichavyayam.
Mahatyam apichavyayam.
Here, Arjuna says, Bhavapya yauhi bhutanam shrutau vistarato maya. O Lord, I have heard from you, Shruta. I have heard from your mouth only, in great detail, about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories. Right? Bhava apyayo. Bhava is appearance. Apyaya means disappearance. So Krishna spoke about the birth and death of living entities. And that is possible by Krishna only. Aham adishcha madhyamcha bhutana mantayavacha. Krishna said, right? In the 10th chapter. 10th chapter which sloka? 21st sloka, I think. 20th sloka. Sloka number 20, Krishna said, I am the beginning, I am the end, and I am the middle of all the living entities. So Arjuna is repeating that. Bhavapyayauhi bhutanam. You are the beginning and you are the end. You are the cause of their appearance and disappearance. Okay, you told. Shrutau vistaraso maya. You have elaborated this and I have heard from you. Tattvah kamala patraksha mahatmyam apicha avyayam. So by hearing like this, O kamala patraksha. Kamala is lotus. Kamala patra is lotus petal. Aksha means eyes. Kamalapatraksha means, O lotus-eyed Krishna, I have heard this from you. So, I have been enlightened. He says, Mahatmyam cha api avyayam. Avyaya. Vyaya means that which can be spent, that which can be exhausted. Avyaya means inexhaustible. Mahatmyam api avyayam. So, I have heard your Mahatmya, your greatness, which is never exhausted. So, we have great, somebody has great wealth. If he keeps on distributing that wealth, the wealth is exhausted. Somebody may be very beautiful, but with the passage of time, that beauty is gone. But Krishna has so many opulences, none of his opulences are diminished or destroyed by the passage of time or by doing any activity. He remains Purnam. Purnamadaha, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Avasishyati. He is the complete whole. From that complete whole, so many complete units are coming out, still he remains complete. That's why he is called Avyayam, inexhaustible. So I have heard all your glories and I have understood that your glories, your greatness is Avyaya, inexhaustible. Arjuna is acknowledging. So a sincere hearer very attentively hears from the speaker and also presents his understanding in summary form, either to the speaker directly or with another person. Basically, we need to assimilate the essence. Now, we are directly hearing from Arjuna's words how he has assimilated the essence of what he has heard from Krishna. So, in the previous sloka, in the previous chapter, Arjuna said, Param Brahma Param Dhama, I understood your glories. So, this is what you are, I understood. Now, your greatness is like this. That also I understood, Arjuna says. Arjuna addresses Krishna as lotus-eyed, out of his joy. So, Arjuna has heard of this from the Lord in detail. Arjuna further knows that, in spite of his being the source of all appearances and disappearances, he is aloof from them. Third sloka. Here in the previous shloka, Krishna Arjuna summarized what he has understood from the previous chapters. Krishna spoke to him. Okay. Now in this shloka, Arjuna says, I desire to see that universal form by which you pervade and sustain the entire universe. Evam etad yathatattvam. Whatever you have spoken, I believe. But atmanam parameshwara, O Parameshwara, I believe everything that you spoke. But drashtum ichham, I also want to see. So, I am satisfied with hearing. But many people are there, they are not satisfied just by hearing. They want to see also. Is it true? So, I want to see now. So, representing the inquisitiveness of a common man, Arjuna is saying like this. Drashtumichhamite rupam. That form by which you pervert the entire universe, I want to see. Aishwaryam purushottama. Aishwarya is divine form. So, I want to see the divine form. Here, Krishna is now going to display the universal form. The universal form of Krishna is basically a temporary form in the material realm. Krishna has so many forms. Ramadi murti sukala niyamena tishthanna navatara makarod bhavaneshu kintu. Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tat tatva puhupranayase sadanugrahaya. We have heard from Brahma Samhita, we have heard from Bhagavatam that Krishna has unlimited incarnations, unlimited forms. Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, Vamana, Vishnus, all Narayanas, all Vishnu Tattvas. So, all these forms are eternal forms. But this Vishwarupa form, the universal form, is not an eternal form. It is a temporary form which exists within the material realm only. You will find Ram's planet in the spiritual world also. You will find the form of Narasimha, Varaha, Vamana, etc. in the spiritual realm also. But you will not find Vishwarupa or universal form in the spiritual world. That is there only in the material world. So it's a temporary manifestation. It is not eternally situated in the spiritual sky like Krishna's other forms. As the material nature is manifested and unmanifested, you understand that the material universe comes out of Mahavishnu's body when he breathes out. And it goes inside Mahavishnu's body when he breathes in. Done. So it's manifested and unmanifested. It is revealed and it is withdrawn. Similarly, as long as the universe exists, within the universe there is universal form. Means basically universal form is all the elements of the universe displayed at one place. That's what the universal form is in this chapter. So, as the material nature is manifested and unmanifested, similarly this universal form is manifested and unmanifested. And devotees are not very eager to see this form. Why Arjuna is eager? Just for other people. Devotees are very eager to see Krishna's Shyam Sundar form. Or devotees love many other forms of Krishna like Ram's form, Narasimha's form, Vamanadev, Varahadev, Kurmadev. So many incarnations are there. Devotees are actually devoted to those forms, not Vishwarupa. So Arjuna is requesting for the sake of other people. And he is actually completely satisfied with the sweet, loving reciprocations that he has been receiving all the while from Krishna's personal form. Krishna is displaying himself in this two-handed form, and Arjuna had such loving exchanges. We read in Bhagavatam, Darshana Sparsha Samlapa Shayanashana Bhojanaihi. Darshana, Pandavas are able to see Krishna's form. Sparsha, they are touching Krishna. Samlapa, they are conversing with Krishna. Shayana, they are sleeping with Krishna. Asana, they are eating with Krishna. They are sitting with Krishna. Bhojanaihi, they are eating with Krishna. Like that, all the six loving exchanges that we can have amongst ourselves, Pandavas and Arjuna in specific, he is having with Krishna directly. He is satisfied with it. But still he is asking for another form, which is the material form of Krishna, just for other people's sake. So this whole Bhagavad Gita is a transcendentally orchestrated conversation between Krishna and Arjuna for the enlightenment of people in general. Actually, Arjuna cannot be bewildered. He is such a wise person, pure devotee. But he was confused about his own duty in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. And credit goes to Krishna. Krishna has put Arjuna in such a bewilderment about his duty so that people in general can get the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So, it's such a event. In Mahabharata, it's a time where all the Kauravas and the Pandavas assembled on the battlefield. All the atrocities done by Duryodhana and party. And now it's a time for Arjuna and all the Pandavas to teach a lesson to these Kauravas. Okay. So in this context, Arjuna is confused about his duty. Definitely the inquisitive and the curiosity levels of the readers of Mahabharata will be very intense. So in this context, Krishna wanted to give the most important teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So although Bhagavad Gita is spoken in the context of war, hardly any verses in Bhagavad Gita are speaking directly about war. Very few verses, 10-15 verses you may see. How many are about war? It is all about mode of goodness, mode of ignorance, mode of passion, bhakti yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, Vishwarupa. What does this has to do with war? The context is different, the content is different. So in this context of war, Krishna is giving the content that is useful for life. Okay. By putting Arjuna in bewilderment. So he just took the topic somewhere else. So the whole war context, the confusion of Arjuna about war, That went to some other philosophical discussion which is relevant for the entire humanity. So here also he is displaying Vishwarupa for our sake, so that we can trust that Krishna is the source of all opulences, all powers in this entire creation. It's not that Arjuna is eager or Arjuna does not know. To substantiate Krishna's statements and to convince people about Krishna's divinity, Arjuna is asking in this way, please show your universal form. And to set a criteria for accepting someone as God. Now, when Arjuna asked Krishna, show universal form, Krishna showed universal form. Then, when Krishna showed the universal form, Arjuna or anyone else who is reading this conversation can be convinced that Krishna is God. Okay? But the issue is, there may be so many people who may just say that they are gods, and people may believe, and they may quote this conversation. They may quote that Arjuna, Krishna told Arjuna that he is God, Mattaha Paratram Nanyat Kinchidasi Dhananjaya, and Arjuna just believed it. Fine. Similarly, I also say that I am God. My followers believe it. What is the problem? Now, if someone, some ordinary human being in this world is claiming that I am God, immediately, you should take Arjuna's example and then ask him, can you show your universal form? Then I will accept you as God. Okay? Arjuna had trust that Krishna is God just by hearing his statements, but Arjuna knows in future people may say that Arjuna has accepted Krishna as God without asking for any proof. So if someone claims that I am God, you should just ask them, show your universal form, then I will believe. How are you sustaining the whole universe? Okay, like that. Next. Because Kali Yuga is filled with so many people who are not very intelligent. So in the modern age, many people may sentimentally believe someone, some ordinary human being also, a god. Or he may be an extraordinary human being, may not be ordinary. But he is a human being. He may be extraordinary. That doesn't mean he is God. He is the supreme creator, the maintainer and the sustainer of the universe. You understand what exactly Krishna means? We discussed in several classes in the previous sessions. Okay. So Krishna is speaking, where are we? We are in fourth sloka. मन्यसे यदि तत् शक्यम्
मन्यसे यदि तत् शक्यम्
मया द्रष्टुम् इति प्रभो
मया द्रष्टुम् इति प्रभो
योगेश्वर ततो मेत्वम्
योगेश्वर ततो मेत्वम्
दर्शयात्मानमव्ययम्
दर्शयात्मानमव्ययम्
अर्जुन फर्दर सेज दैट इफ यू थिंक दैट आई एम एबल टू बिहोल्ड योर कॉस्मिक फॉर्म मन्यसे यदि तत् शक्यम् इफ आई हैव दैट ability, if you think that I have that ability to behold your universal form or cosmic form, madrashtum iti prabho, yogeshwara tato metvam, then you please display it. Darshayatmanam avyayam. Show me that form which is avyaya form, inexhaustible form. Because one by single fragment of Krishna's energy, he is pervading and sustaining this universe. What is that form in which he is doing it? I want to see how he actually does it. So, if you think that I can behold it, Arjuna also is giving a hint to Krishna that I may not be able to behold it. You have to help me to do it. So, Arjuna is humbly requesting Krishna to show universal form. Arjuna, what he is doing now is a request, not a demand. There may be some people who say, oh, Krishna is God, let him show his form, then I will believe. So when somebody is having such a challenging spirit, Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself to such a person. Krishna already said, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrtaha. Moodhoyam. So for foolish people who have this challenging spirit, who challenge God, Krishna is not obliged to prove to such people that he is God. Whether you accept or not, I remain God. Just because you are challenging me out of your arrogance and pride, I don't have to prove to you that you are, I am God. Okay. So Krishna need not be doing so. But if a humble devotee requests Krishna, Krishna, I wish to see that form. Can you please show me? And out of Krishna's mercy, Krishna may show that form to such a humble devotee, responding to a very sincere appeal or request. One can understand the unlimited Lord when he reveals himself gracefully, not by our speculation, not by our challenge, not by provoking him. So, this is the essence of the purport. The word Yogeshwara is also significant here because the Lord is having inconceivable power. We discuss it four shlokas. Now Krishna is responding. Fifth shloka. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha
Pashyame Partha Rupani
Pashyame Partha Rupani
Shatsotha शतशोतसहस्रशः
नानाविधानि दिव्यानि
नानावर्णाकृतीनि च
श्री
कृष्ण हैज क्रिएटेड दिस यूनिवर्स नानाविधानि दिव्यानि नानावर्णाकृतीनि च There are so many varieties. Just now we are discussing this class and that bird is singing so nicely. right? And another bird is singing from there. So, all the chirping of all these birds is unique. Right? A quail sings in a certain way. A peacock sings in a certain way. A cuckoo sings in a certain way. Like that a pigeon makes some sound in a certain way. A parrot makes sound in a certain way. So, like that different birds are making different sounds. Variety. नाना विधानी दिव्यानी पश्यबे पार्थ रूपानी ओ पार्थ सी दिस फॉर्म्स शतशोत सहस्रशः देयर आर हंड्रेड्स एंड थाउजेंड्स ऑफ वैरायटीज इन दिस फॉर्म नाना विधानी दिव्यानी देयर ऑल डिवाइन नाना वक्त्र वर्ण आकृति इन वर्ण मीन्स कलर्स आकृति मीन्स शेप्स सो आई एम गोइंग टू डिस्प्ले ऑल दिस बेसिकली वॉट एवर इज देयर इन द एंटायर यूनिवर्स कृष्णा शोस टू अर्जुन एट वन प्लेस Just imagine you went into a shopping mall that has, you know, 10 floors. One floor clothes are there, one floor vegetables are there, one floor electronic gadgets are there, one floor something else is there. And you went to that shop owner and then said, I want to see what's there in your shop. If he just brings all the materials in all the rooms, in all the floors and then shows it one place to you, it's overwhelming, isn't it? They're supposed to be distributed. Into different racks, into different floors, into different rooms. But if everything is just put in front of you, you are in the midst of all of it, you are everywhere, you are bewildered. Any direction you see some variety there. So that's a very crude and simple example. Just imagine how many varieties are there within the universe. All of them are displayed to Arjuna at one place. Arjuna was totally confused and surprised, astonished to see this form. So Krishna, before revealing the universal form, he is describing what he is about to reveal. Nana vidhani divyani nana varanakriti nicha. Next, sixth shloka. Pashyadityan vasun rudran.
Pashyadityan vasun rudran.
Ashvinau marutastatham.
Ashvinau marutastatham.
Bahun yadrishta purvani.
Bahun yadrishta purvani.
Pashyascharyani bharatam.
Pashyascharyani bharatam.
Not only all the objects and planets are varieties in this world that Krishna is displaying, he will display all the personalities also. Pashya Adityan. Oh Arjuna, now you are going to see all Adityas. Vasun, all Vasus. Rudran, all Rudras. Ashvino, Marutas Tatha. All the Ashvini Kumaras, Marutas and everybody you will see. Bahuni, Adrishta Purvani. Adrishta Purvani means this kind of form is never displayed before. Adrishta Purvani. Pashya Ascharyani Bharata. These are all very surprising displays. Very astonishing displays. So, try to see. You wanted to see, right? See. And Krishna is just giving a glimpse or a trailer about what Arjuna is going to see. So the movie may be 3 hours movie. And you are describing the movie in 1 minute. Okay, this is what is there in the movie. That's what Krishna is doing. He is going to display something very unlimited. But in 2-3 verses, he is just summarizing. In 4 verses, he is summarizing. Krishna is describing his universal form from verse number 5 to verse number 8. Just by giving some hints or some highlights of this whole thing. Seventh sloka. Ihaikastham jagat krishnam.
Ihaikastham jagat krishnam.
Pashyadya sacharacharam.
Pashyadya sacharacharam.
Mamadehe gudakesha.
Mamadehe gudakesha.
Yachanya drashtumichhasi.
Yachanya drashtumichhasi.
So he says, Ihaikastham jagat krishnam. Jagat Krishna means the complete universe. Whatever is there in the entire universe, Eka Iha Ekastham. You can see everything situated at one place. Everything that is there in the entire world is displayed at one place. And what is the second line? Pashya Adhya Sacharacharam. All Chara and Achara, all the movable entities and immovable entities. You can see today now in front of you. Mama dehe gudakesha. For example, there are some entities are there. Say, polar bear is there. Or kangaroo is there. So, they live in certain places. You don't see kangaroos running around now. Here, in certain geographical location. You are there in India, in this Maharashtra, in so-and-so village. So, you can't see kangaroos around. You may see birds and crows and dogs and cats. Okay? And similarly, you don't see elephants around. You go to Africa, then you will see elephant. So, different living entities and different species are distributed in different locations. Sthanam, you understand sthanam? In the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, Atra Sargo Visargasya Sthanam Poshanam Otayaha Manvantareshanukatha Nirodha Muktirashrayaha. In that sthanam is the positioning of various living entities according to their karmas in different geographical locations, in different planetary systems. Okay. So the planetary system, different planets in this universe are created to accommodate different types of living entities with different inclinations and desires. That is sthanam. So all that is created in the universe is displayed at one place. Movable entities, immovable entities. So he says, Iha ekastham jagatskrishnam pasya adya sacharacharam. Mama dehe gudakesha. Where he is displaying? Mama dehe, in his body. All these varieties are displayed within Krishna's body. Yat chanya drashtum arhasi. Now you can see. Within my body you can see all these varieties. Each shloka he says. Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Adenaiva svachakshusham.
Adenaiva svachakshusham.
Divyam dadamite chakshuhu.
Divyam dadamite chakshuhu.
Pashyame yogamaishwaram.
Pashyame yogamaishwaram.
A very important shloka. Krishna says, I am going to reveal to you the universal form. But you do not have the ability to see this with these eyes. He says, Natumam shakyase drashtum. Arjuna, in the fourth shloka, you said, if you can behold that form, I should show that form to you. Arjuna said, right? If you think that I can see the form, please reveal that universal form. Now in the eighth shloka, Krishna says, you cannot see that form. With your eyes, you cannot see that form. Natumam shakyase drashtum. You don't have the shakti drashtum to see this form. Anenaiva svachakshusha. With your own eyes, you cannot see. So, divyam tadamite chakshuhu. I am going to give you divya chakshu. Divya means divine. Chakshu means eyes. So, with your current eyes, you cannot see. I will give you divine eyes. Divyam tadamite chakshuhu. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. Behold my mystic opulence. Yogam aishwaram. To behold Krishna's mystic opulence, by which he pervades and sustains this material universe, you need special vision. What to speak of beholding Krishna's spiritual aishwaram? A spiritual world. You really need spiritual eyes to see. Even Krishna's material energy is inconceivable to us. What to speak of the varieties that Krishna manifests with his spiritual energy? It's not easy to understand Krishna. We cannot foolishly and prematurely and immaturely claim that I know God. I know everything about God. So the opulences and the energies and the power, greatness of Krishna is so inconceivable. It's like a frog staying within a well, claiming to be having an understanding of the expanse and depth of an ocean. Frog which is living in the well has never seen an ocean. But the frog, if it claims that I have full understanding of the expanse and the depth of Pacific Ocean, it's foolish, isn't it? Similarly, a living entity, an ordinary, average human being, conditioned soul in this world, if he says that I know God, I understand everything about God, that is really foolishness. Devotees can understand Krishna to certain degree, as much as Krishna reveals, and that is sufficient for them. One cannot completely understand God. Even to see Krishna's normal form, some material form, you need a Divya Chakshu. Arjuna, being an Ananya Bhakta or a pure devotee, had the superior vision of affection. So Arjuna had affection for Krishna. So when he sees Krishna with love. But to see that when he sees Krishna, he sees the sweetness of Krishna's human form and sweetness of Krishna's human pastimes. But now Arjuna is given a celestial vision to see the majestic form of the Lord. Just like mother sees the son in the house with love and affection. If the same son goes out and he becomes a CEO of a company, he has 1,000 employees who are waiting for his instruction and guidance and for the salary that he gives. So mother's seeing of that situation of the son is totally different, right? I mean, she cannot be comfortable also. So she sees with affection. So her vision has to be changed. Oh, my son is like this. He has become a big man. Mothers cannot actually understand all that. So here, Arjuna has the habit of seeing Krishna's sweet personal form with love and affection. So with his loving eyes, he cannot behold the mystic form, the cosmic form of Krishna, universal form of Krishna. That's a combination of all his powers and greatness. So now Krishna is giving Arjuna a celestial vision to see his majestic form with thousands of heads, eyes and so on, so that Arjuna can be astonished. This is, now it's not Sakhya Rasa. It is Adbhuta Rasa. So now he is seeing Krishna and interacting with Krishna with love and friendship. Now he will get into astonishment. He will wonder at this form. Okay. So sometimes Krishna, while seeing Krishna, one rasa becomes prominent. So Prabhupada quotes this shloka, Ittham satam brahma sukhanu bhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashritanam naradarakena shakam vijahurho krita punya punjaha. We discussed this in our Bhagavatam classes, we will not discuss. Basically this shloka is about the Sakhya Rasa, which is experienced by the Gopas of Vrindavan. So Gopas of Vrindavan may not be seeing this kind of universal form because they have pure affection for Krishna. They are friends of Krishna and they have love and affection for Krishna in a friendly mood. That's pure friendship. It is never tinged with any reverential feelings. But Arjuna's friendship with Krishna is not like that. Arjuna is a friend of Krishna and the Sridhama, Sudama, Madhumangal, they are also friends of Krishna in Vrindavan. So the Vrajavasis are the friends of Krishna in Vrindavan are on a higher plane than other friends of Krishna in other places. So Arjuna's friendship is tinged with Aishwarya, tinged with a conception of Krishna's being God, tinged with a conception that Krishna is worshipable God, and the reverence and all these things are there in Arjuna's relationship with Krishna. Generally he is friend, but sometimes he starts praying to Krishna, he will become disciple of Krishna. And when Krishna displays opulences, then Arjuna becomes astonished. But in Vrindavan, even if Krishna displays opulences, the gopas, the cowherd boys, they don't take Krishna seriously. If Krishna displays his opulence and then swallows forest fire and protects all the gopas, sometimes the gopas may think, oh, Krishna is so powerful. Is he demigod or what? If he is a demigod, then we are also demigods. We are his friends, right? So we are also demigods. Like that they play. So they will never think that Krishna is God. Even if Krishna displays his godhood right in front of them. Many of the demons that Krishna killed, he killed right in front of the eyes of all his friends. But all his friends did not develop any reverential feeling towards Krishna. They were all friendly. They were not respectful. They were not worshipping. Even if they worship also, they may worship out of play. Krishna, I worship you. You also worship me now. Like that. So they will give their remnants. They eat a laddu and they take it out right from their mouth and then say, Krishna, this is very sweet laddu, please eat it. So can anyone feed God like that? You have to have all mantras and tantras and all these things to feed Krishna. But here are the gopas who are never into such reverential feelings. But Arjuna is also a friend of Krishna, but with reverential feeling. Not that pure affection of a friend. So we discussed 8 shlokas. From 9th shloka, we'll discuss in the next session. Okay. Hare Krishna.